United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Good day. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Nelson Strobrit, and my guest today is Evan Boyd, who is Library Director and Archivist at the new United Lutheran Seminary Library. Welcome to the Seminary Explores.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted to have you in your new position in this new seminary. And the first question for you is, what is a theological librarian?
Right. So theological librarians are just a subset of librarians. Theological librarians tend to work for seminaries and divinity schools.
Okay.
That train future leaders of the church. So we have, not only do we have a master's in library science, we also usually have another graduate degree that in religion. In my case, I have a master's in religion.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Which helps you in terms of the literature.
Right, it helps me understand more about the concepts and research areas that are important to seminaries.
Oh, okay.
Rather than just having a very broad base and stabbing at the dark a little bit.
Right, okay. And I'd like to know, how did you develop your interest in theological librarianship?
Sure. So I am actually a graduate of the former Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Where I received my MA in religion.
Okay.
A decade ago, actually. Mm-hmm. after that, while I was doing that, I had this realization that I had no idea what I wanted to do with that degree.
Okay.
Because I had originally come in as an MDiv student. And realized
that MDiv means preparing for pastoral ministry.
Correct. I realized within the first semester that I was really not someone that had the gifts to be a pastor.
Right. Okay.
So I switched degree programs and gave me time to think. I started working in the library in the Philadelphia campus.
That was to make extra money, or
to make money while I was a student.
Okay.
And through that, the former library director Kyle Kruger said, "You know, you seem to be pretty good at this. You should consider working in libraries in the future."
Huh. Okay.
So I did a little bit of research, and I went off to library school when I had completed the MA.
Okay. In fact, my next question is, how do you prepare for such a position? And so you had your degree in religion,
mm-hmm.
and then went on to library school.
Right.
Library science.
Right. It's a fairly common route. It's actually much more common for theological librarians to be pastors.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't necessarily help anymore, but it also does give one a different perspective. I have a personal love of the fact that what I do is prepare future leaders for the church.
Huh.
That what I'm doing is supporting the needs of students who will be the face of the church, mm-hmm. in the public.
Right, okay.
And I want them to be as good at that as possible, which, mm-hmm. means they need to know how to find true facts and to learn how to analyze what is in front of them, whether, mm-hmm. it be a theological text or the news of the day.
Right. You know, which is very important for a pastor in a congregation or,
right.
or a deacon in the congregation, working in a congregation,
right.
et cetera. May I ask, what did you do prior, mm-hmm. to coming, to being appointed and named the director of the United Seminary Library?
Sure. A few of the, I'll do some highlights.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, good.
So after I completed library school, I ended up going back to graduate school again, that time working on a master's in gender and women's studies.
Okay.
I had a little bit of an interest in doing a doctorate, and I felt like I needed a stronger background in gender studies before mm-hmm. I would do that.
Okay.
So also that was 2009, and so the job market was not very good.
Right, exactly.
I eventually did find a job full-time as a librarian. I had been working part-time as a librarian while in grad school.
Okay.
But I found full-time work in Iowa, and I was there very briefly.
Okay.
It was an interesting learning experience for 10 months.
Was that in a theological library?
No, that was at a state university.
Oh, okay.
From there, an opening came up at Chicago Theological Seminary, which is the United Church of Christ seminary in Hyde Park in Chicago. That was an amazing experience, both how I began as well as the whole 5 years I was there.
Could you share some of that amazing?
Yeah, so I came in. Chicago Theological Seminary had sold their campus in 2007. I got there in 2011, so 4 years later.
Right.
After they were in the process of completing the new building when I arrived, and I had 3 months to prepare to move a 150-year-old library and archives collection to a new facility, as well as finalize arrangements for with the moving companies mm-hmm. and getting some connections with historical collections, so that the Congregational Library and Archives, which is in Boston, had in the past taken some of the material from the library, but there was more stuff that was best suited to be in their hands than ours.
Oh, okay.
So 3 months of just getting a crash course in how to learn about one collection and use it was great. I started as the assistant librarian and eventually became their director. The other thing during that first year was that they were developing an online degree program.
Okay.
They now have a fully online Master of Divinity degree. And I designed all of the online resources for that, acquired ones that best fit their needs.
Right.
And I had come in when they had just recently went from having a paper catalog to an online catalog. So it was a very busy year, and I loved it.
Yeah,
it's
certainly a transition from the 20th century to the 21st century.
Right.
For sure.
Yes, and over the next 4 years, as I moved up in that library, it was great to work with faculty in course development and learn about a lot of students that were from, I think it was over 20 different denominations, as well as some Muslim students.
Right, so a very integrated community in that sense,
yes.
Religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. Oh, wow. Yeah, so that would have prepared you for a lot of things.
Yes.
Indeed. Which brings me, you mentioned the online degree, mm-hmm. and I'd like to know from your perspective mm-hmm. now, what do you see as the challenges for libraries and librarians in general mm-hmm. in this 21st century? Mm-hmm. And I ask that because, you know, my days as a seminarian and then on the faculty was to, you know, there were the number of paper resources and having and students learn the library situation. And now, you know, the online resources, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know, so that's behind my question for the challenges.
Yes. So here at United Lutheran Seminary, both previous institutions did not do a lot of electronic resource acquiring. They kind of did the basic needs, but were still very much focused on their print collections.
Mm-hmm.
I do plan on us maintaining a print collection and still buying things in print, but also making strategic purchases and subscriptions of things that would support the curriculum, so that commuter students, distance learning students, and on-site students would have access to as much of the same material as possible.
Okay.
I think the challenge for libraries, and for us right now is both making sure that we make smart financial decisions and buying strategically, as well as making sure that what we have is really easy for everyone to use.
Yeah, that's because, important.
Because students will just go to Google if their faculty lets them get away with it. But in my opinion, it isn't a lot of work for me to train someone how to use a good, a well-made library resource online. And
oh, really? You can't. The audience can't see my expression, but I use the technology. But sometimes getting to those resources that they say are easy to get to becomes problematic.
Right. That's one of the things we're working on right now is a new library website, so that the first step is easy in how to get into it.
Right.
And the second step, which is logging in, will be simplified as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What do you see as the types of resources that have now become available that we didn't think of before? At least students might not have thought of.
Sure. And we're sitting in a room that is called the Luther Room right now, and I'm staring at Luther's works in German and in English.
Right.
And one thing that just recently came out is the full text of the American edition of Luther's works in English.
Right.
That I want us to get, so that'll be available to everyone everywhere, on all of the students and faculty.
Right.
They already have access to the German version, but I think that's more useful for the faculty than it is the students.
Right, there's some students who come with fluency in German, but most do not. You know.
Right. Other key things that I've started doing is buying ebooks in religion and in biblical studies.
Now, how does the ebook work?
Right.
For those of us who might want to browse the catalog and see that there's an ebook available.
Sure. My personal preference when it comes to ebooks is to buy ebooks that are super easy to use. So far, the only ebooks I've purchased are from a vendor called Project Muse, which is run out of Johns Hopkins University Press. They work with lots of university presses and Augsburg Fortress as well.
Oh, okay.
Their ebooks are basically, as long as you're signed in or on campus, you can go to any ebook that we've purchased and click on the title, and you can then download each chapter like as a basic PDF. So you could save it to your computer, you could print it, you could read it on any device you own, without having to install any other software on your computer
or having
to remember extra passwords.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about, thinking about when I asked the question.
I don't want the library to be a chore for anyone. And I think as much as I can do to make it fun or simple, I will do.
Great. That's good. That's good to hear. Certainly, as I try to use the library as much as I can, the theological library as well as the public library.
Right.
So anything to make that venture or adventure simpler is all right with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you envision for the library, or should I say the libraries, since the library is on two campuses? And I ask this question because I noticed that you have expanded the space in some sections of the library, and to me suggesting that you want people to talk in the library or encounter each other in the library.
Yes.
Could you share some of that envisioning and some of that change for us?
So some of the change that I've done on both campuses, actually, is to look at the way we're using some of the spaces and remove some of the shelving that isn't necessary. So both campuses had periodical shelving based on the number of print titles they got 20 to 30 years ago, which was about 70% more than what it currently is.
Oh, okay.
So we were able to move the periodicals around so that they all fit on the shelves still, and then I was able to remove several units from both places. It freed up space so that now here in Gettysburg, we have a library living room with lots of comfortable furniture so that students can gather informally. They can either, you know, take naps, read the paper, or meet as a gaggle for prep for a class.
Right.
I'm not a fan of quiet libraries, but I do make certain that there are spaces for quiet study for those that want it.
Okay.
So in Gettysburg, that means the lower level I'll maintain as a quiet space.
Okay. Is that a similar outline at Philadelphia campus?
It is similar. There, in particular, the reading room had been just swallowed up by periodical shelving. So I took a lot out, and now we have a very large reading room with two massive oak tables from when the building was built that they just look great now. And other spaces, we've been replacing tables with tables that are the correct height for the chairs that they have. Thinking about how to use some of the space further.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when you say reduce shelving, does that also mean that you've discontinued some of those periodicals that were on those shelves?
I have not. I have not canceled anything since I got here. However, I plan on switching the majority of our print to electronic only.
Okay.
And I won't do that until I can make it very easy for someone to find the online version.
Well, I think you've helped people who use the library, these two libraries, some sense of relief that what they want or the materials or resources that they need have not been discontinued, but are there and will continue, but in another venue.
Right. That's the other thing is that both referenced libraries were huge collections that were had lots of good resources in them, but resources that really didn't need to be in the reference room.
Oh.
So in Philadelphia, they had Grimm's Dictionary of the German Language from from the 19th century.
Right.
That's an online resource. But there's also, it's a freely available online resource now, which is great, and I'll make sure that gets in the catalog so that people can find it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to keep the print. We're just putting it into storage.
Right, because of accessibility now.
Right.
That they didn't have before.
Right. In other cases, like for here in Gettysburg, there are a lot of old versions of really important encyclopedias, mm-hmm. like the Brill's Polly, which is an ancient world encyclopedia, mm-hmm. and it's huge. But the edition they have here is from the 1930s, and the most recent edition is from the 1990s.
Oh, okay, right.
So we've kept it because we can't afford to buy the new version.
Mm-hmm.
But we've moved it out of the reference room, and it's now in the Pioneer Room.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, I see. So we'll be looking forward to more innovations and change and creative changes.
I hope so. And I hope that I plan on whenever I do make a change that would be a drastic change in what we have or what we're going to get into the future, that I'll make sure to bring folks in on the discussion.
Please do. Please do. As you worked in libraries, and now the theological library, how do you see the theological library being of assistance to the community mm-hmm. in which it is placed? And in this case, in the Philadelphia community as well as in the Gettysburg community.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question that I have not yet developed a good answer to, mostly because I really need to settle into a regular work with what I need for students and faculty.
Right.
Which I can't do until I see the students.
Right, that's right. You're right. You've come along. Yeah, right, during the summer season. Yeah.
But at minimum, I really do hope that we maintain relationships with local clergy and remain a resource for them. And in, for instance, sermon prep help. And in here in Gettysburg, in particular, also those that are interested in the history of Gettysburg, the history of Lutheran churches, because we have the both Gettysburg Seminary's archive,
right,
as well as the Region 8 of the ELCA archive for about five or six synods.
Oh, okay.
So closed congregations from those areas. It doesn't just include baptismal records, it also includes the comings and goings of the church.
Right. Very much so. Great, great. How do you see your role as librarian, theological librarian, in working with faculty and with students?
My role with the faculty is to be partners in learning with them. I very much want the faculty, each faculty member, to have a good meeting with me on an annual basis where we talk about both their personal research needs as well as the courses they're teaching and the research needs of the students in those courses. And then for me to say, or them to say, that I can help in some way,
right,
either through an instruction, some course instruction, or in the case of working with folks on particular classes, if I have subject knowledge that would be useful and could do a guest lecture, I'm happy to join.
Oh, great. That's good.
For students, it's much the same. I want to be have open office hours most of the time so that students can drop in, tell me their research needs, help them either start a project if they really don't even know where to begin, or to help them in the completion of it, or the all of those steps in the middle. I also, as a member of the faculty myself, have student advisees.
Okay, yeah.
and in that role, I hope to support my advisees in whatever their ultimate goals with their education here will be.
Okay. I can't believe it. Our time has run out. it's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you as
Thank
the
you.
New director and archivist at United Lutheran Seminary.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Evan Boyd, who is the director and archivist at the United Lutheran Seminary. And we've been talking about his transition into the directorship here at on the Gettysburg campus and on the Philadelphia campus. For Nelson Strobert, this is Nelson Strobert. Have a good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.